Greetings, this is Jeff Riddle, pastor of Christ Reformed Baptist Church in Louisa, Virginia. This is another in this occasional series of readings from and brief notes and commentary upon Eusebius of Caesarea's The Ecclesiastical History. Here is Book 7, Chapters 20 and 21. Chapter 20. But to resume, Dionysius, in addition to the letters of his that were mentioned, composed at that time also the festal letters, which are still extant, in which he gives utterance to words specially suited to a solemn occasion with reference to the festival of the Pascha. Of these he addressed one to Flavius, another to Domitius and Didymus, in which also he sets forth a canon based on a cycle of 8 years, proving that it is not proper to celebrate the festival of the Pascha at any other time than after the vernal equinox. In addition to these, he penned also another letter to his fellow presbyters at Alexandria, and to the others at the same time in different places. And these he wrote while the persecution was still proceeding. Chapter 21. Peace had all but arrived when he returned to Alexandria. But when faction and war broke out there once more, since it was not possible for him to discharge his oversight over all the brethren in the city, separated as they were into one or other part of the faction, he again at the festival of the Pascha communicated with them by letter, as if he were someone in a foreign country, from Alexandria itself. And to Hierax, after this a bishop of those in Egypt, he writes another festal letter, mentioning in the following terms the faction prevailing among the Alexandrians in his day. But as for me, what I wonder is if I find it difficult to communicate, even by letter, with those who live at some distance, seeing that it has become impossible even for myself to converse with myself or to take counsel with my own soul. Certainly I have need to write by letter to my very heart, that is, the brethren that are the same household and mind with me and citizens of the same church. And there seems no possible way of getting this correspondence through. For it were easier for a man to pass, I do not say to a foreign country, but even from east to west than to traverse Alexandria from Alexandria itself. For the street that runs through the very center of the city is harder to traverse and more impassable than that great and trackless desert through which Israel journeyed for 2 generations. And our calm and waveless harbors have become an image of the sea, which split up and made into a wall on either side they had for a carriage road, and in the highway the Egyptians were drowned. And from the murders that take place in them, they oftentimes appear like a Red Sea. And the river that flows on past the city at one time appeared drier than the waterless desert, and more arid than that in the whole crossing. Israel so thirsted that Moses cried out, and there flowed to them, from him who alone doeth wonders, drink out of a rock of flint. At another time it overflowed to such an extent that it submerged the whole neighborhood, both the roads and the fields, threatening to bring upon us the rush of waters that took place in the days of Noah. And always its course is defiled with blood and murders and drownings, such as it became for Pharaoh by the hand of Moses, when it was turned to blood and stank. And what other water could there be to cleanse the water that cleanses all things? How could the great ocean that men cannot pass, if it were poured upon it, purge this horrid sea? Or how could the great river that goeth out of Eden, if it were to divert the 4 heads into which it is parted into one, the Gihon, wash away the gore? Or when might the air, made foul by the vile exhalations on all sides, become pure? For such are the vapors that are given off from the land, winds from the sea, breezes from the rivers, and mists from the harbors, that the dews are discharges from corpses, rotting in all their constituent elements. Yet men marvel and are at a loss as to whence come the constant plagues, whence the grievous diseases, whence the various forms of death, whence the manifold and great human mortality, Why this greatest of cities no longer contains within it so great a multitude of inhabitants, from infant children up to those extremely advanced in years, as it used formerly to support of those known as men of green old age. Nay, those of 40 years old and up to 70 were then so numerous that the full total of their number is not to be reached now, when those from 14 to 80 years have been registered and reckoned together for the public food ration, and the youngest in appearance have become of equal age, so to speak, with those who long ago were the oldest. And though the human race upon earth is thus ever diminishing and consuming away before their eyes, they do not tremble as its total disappearance draws nearer and nearer. Here ends Book 7 and Chapters 20 and 21, and we'll move on to some notes and commentary. These chapters describe the various festal letters of Dionysius of Alexandria, and Dionysius served as a major source for Eusebius in describing this particular time period in early Christianity. Chapter 20 begins with mention of Dionysius's various letters written on the occasion of the Pascha. These letters recall the Quartodeciman controversy concerning the time when the Passion and Resurrection of Christ were to be remembered. Dionysius apparently favored the commemoration of the Pascha at the vernal equinox, and not at the time of the Jewish Passover, 14 Nisan. It is also noted that he wrote these letters even while the various persecutions against the church were underway. Chapter 21 describes Dionysius's return to Alexandria during a short time peace for the church, which was interrupted when war broke out in Alexandria among various factions. At this time, the Christians were not able to assemble, so Dionysius had to communicate to those in Alexandria as if he were someone in a foreign country from Alexandria itself. An excerpt from this letter is quoted, in which Dionysius, the bishop of Alexandria, shares his frustration with not being able to see the brethren in person, or even to get his correspondence through to them. He notes the danger involved in passing from one end of the city to the other, making it harder than traveling from one country to another, or from traveling the entirety from east to west. The central street in Alexandria, he says, was as hard to traverse as the desert that the Israelites had to traverse during their journey out of Egypt. The harbors and the rivers of Alexandria, he says, were sometimes as dry as when the Red Sea was removed, and at other times it was prone to flood, as in the days of Noah. The waters were also at times red with the blood of those killed in these wars, as in the time of Pharaoh. Water and air were foul with the smell of rotting corpses. These conditions would lead to famine that will be described in the next chapter, Book 7 and Chapter 22. War and pestilence, according to this report from Dionysius, was greatly reducing the population, removing especially the elderly, so that those who were once the youngest were now considered to be the oldest. The assessment that is given by Dionysius in this excerpt is quite pessimistic, as he says that the time seems to be drawing near when human beings will be wiped out completely from the face of the earth. In conclusion, Eusebius continues to draw on Dionysius of Alexandria and his various letters here, making reference to his festal letters as a key source. No sooner had Christians escaped from the persecutions that they were enduring from the state than they were caught up in war and famine. Dionysius provides a vivid and sometimes even heart-wrenching description of the horrific sufferings of civilians in time of war and pestilence, Certainly his descriptions of his frustrations with confinement to home and lack of access to person-to-person Christian assemblies will resonate with any who have had to deal with quarantines due to war or disease. Still, Dionysius can offer encouragements by relating his times to various Old Testament antecedents, especially the experience of the Israelites in bondage in Egypt and their exodus. Even if his vision for the future of humanity remains dim, as he sees a time when perhaps human beings will even be wiped off the face of the earth. So this brings this episode to a conclusion. I hope that this has been helpful to the hearers, and I will look forward to speaking to you in the next episode. Till then, take care and God bless.